town you never heard of.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk
Podcast for the people by the people.
There it is.
There it is.
Yeah.
Crack it open.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we got it. I gotta say, this is your creation here.
It's pretty sweet.
It is.
It is damn cool.
It is.
Folks watching on video on YouTube can see the new Farm Focused koozie.
Now, it reminds me of another design, and we don't need to say who, but you look at it.
It's iconic.
It's iconic.
Does this thing float?
Of course.
I mean, didn't they all back in the day?
It might just mimic our favorite beer brand currently. I mean, unless somebody else wants to pay, but I'm just saying.
Right. It's right in there.
Right. We're okay to shift if
we're selling out. We're advertising selling out. Right.
the banquet beer found us. Yeah. I do think that should be a good goal for us. Do you guys know Bussin' with the Boys?
Yeah. No.
Mm-hmm. Big sports podcast, former Huskers, like one of the co-hosts.
Oh.
And they do their podcast on a bus. Get it? That's their shtick, Bussin' with the Boys.
There you go.
Got it.
And they had a bow tie that kind of looked like an iconic beer brand. And it said, instead of their name, it said Bussin'. And they got a cease and desist. And they were like celebrating it on social media. Like, oh, we did it, guys. We made it. And I think that should be a good goal for us. Like, let's do it.
That's what I was going to say. Like, if we get a cease and desist, then.
Yeah. Right,
I'm good.
Then we fucking made it.
Yeah, like thank you.
That's we did it.
Golden.
Yeah.
Oh, said it again. Yeah. Oh,
the golden.
Didn't even plan on that.
Yeah,
you know
that was pretty good.
Winning.
I don't think these are on the website yet, are they?
No.
Maybe they probably will be by the time. Maybe by the time this gets released.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we'll take pics, put them up, boom.
Yeah.
So it's the new koozie. It's a throwback. It's the. It's the old school foam, the one that your dad used to have.
No, these are the ones we use when we go to Canada. You know why?
Why?
Because we all use, we rent these pieces of crap, deep V, 17-foot boats, and we just beat the living hell out of them.
Okay.
Okay. You know, up in Canada, all those lakes have rocks everywhere, and we don't want to take our own boat because we would totally wreck it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're hard on these rentals. And with that, you know, there's no amenities. It's not nice, any of those things. But these, the old throwback koozies, you know, that your grandfather had, you can set these on the bench and your beer won't tip over on you.
Mm.
So this is a huge part of our Canada fishing trip. Yes, it is.
Nice.
Yes, it is. You need these koozies if you're going to be using one of the crappy rental boats on any of those resorts.
You know what makes me think, though, that we need next?
What?
Is
a boat?
Like a... The keychain.
Trip to Canada.
Well, that too. Mm-hmm. The keychain. So then your keys, the floats that says stock and rod.
Yeah.
That'd be some shit.
For the boat.
Or like if
the boat keys.
Yeah. Well,
the boat
like
keys themselves.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, like it's just the like the buoy thing.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Anyways, there's so many ideas. I mean, come on.
So definitely check that out at farmfocused.com. And by the way, if you'd like 20% off your koozie. You can use the code COMMONFOLK.
There we go.
There you go.
All right.
Or anything else on the website.
And send us a message and you get a free shirt.
Got that synergy working already.
Boom. Okay. All the things.
All of it. What are we talking about today, Benjamin?
A topic that I had come across that I thought was super interesting was a couple different things. But one, this whole topic of like food deserts and you know how people things happen in certain areas where people just don't have access to food and like my initial reaction is okay, how did that even happen, you know? So then I start digging into that and I start thinking to myself and I start thinking about like, you know, people taking responsibility for themselves and convenience and all the things. But the story that had come out that was specifically talking about this was one of our local big chain grocers, Hy-Vee, which first of all, I want to put out there that this is not a bash Hy-Vee podcast.
And I like that you said that because Kroger takes a lot of heat too. And sure.
Do they?
Oh my God, yeah. Look at Colorado when we get into this. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of this, things happened but I wouldn't put the grocery stores, you know, they're more of a byproduct of some of the fallout of
right, what's going on right. here. And that's what we want to talk, what we want to tackle today mm-hmm. is not who's the bad guy. Why do mm-hmm. companies like this even exist in the form that they exist today? What has created the necessity of them to exist?
Mm-hmm.
And then therefore they do, and then it puts us susceptible to certain things that could happen, like right. when they start closing stores and all of a sudden food deserts start popping up.
Right.
So the story that came out, which is close to home for us, was in Iowa, that Hy-Vee was closing some stores in Iowa. And specifically, the areas were Cedar Rapids area, Waterloo, Davenport. And basically, the stories were kind of like, again, painting Hy-Vee as the bad guy. Where mm-hmm. like, hey, you guys are
sure.
closing up shop and you're yeah. leaving, and now all of a sudden nobody yeah. can get any food. And furthermore, they can't get their prescriptions
because mm-hmm.
this place is a,
oh.
you know, so that's a whole nother piece, IV you know, right?
Hy-Vee is one of the biggest pharmacies in the Midwest
yep.
now too.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah. so what has happened? What has happened? Why?
What happened was?
Why in these small towns, in these small areas,
yeah.
does no longer the yeah. small town pharmacy, the small town grocery store, those kinds of things exist?
Yeah.
And a lot of people would immediately go to, because it's the easy answer, well, the big dog came in and shut them all down.
Yeah, Walmart moved in, and they took my job.
But Hy-Vee right. is the big dog.
That's what I'm saying. So the big dog came in and shut down the small town pharmacies okay. and the small town grocery stores.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people would immediately go to.
Mm-hmm.
What I go to is, yeah, that was part of it in the end. That was part of the demise of those small places. But
yeah.
you, as the consumer, made the decision to go over and start and take your money from these small town places
sure.
and start moving them to these bigger dogs.
Right.
Right. So that's mm-hmm. really basic. Like, there's a whole lot more that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I thought would be kind of interesting would be to paint the picture of the town that we're right next to that has literally gone through all this and mm-hmm. is not at the point where the food desert has been created, but is
it could.
Well on that path.
Sure.
We're just earlier in it, and these other towns like Davenport and Cedar Rapids and Waterloo,
yeah.
are further down the road.
Yeah.
So before I get into kind of what the town next to us looks like,
mm-hmm.
do you have anything to add on what I've already said?
Can I read the definition of food desert here?
Do it.
Yeah, please do.
Food deserts are regions where people have limited access to healthful and affordable food. This may be due to having a low income or having to travel further. To find healthful food options. That's your baseline
full-on
definition yep. of food deserts. And it's interesting, food desert, this is a relative new term.
Mm-hmm.
And from the little bit of research, you know, and I would love to really dive into this with more of a professional that's been studying this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it came about in like the 90s in Scotland when some things started going down up in that region
mm-hmm.
and businesses that included grocery stores and all these places where people went to fill their food security
yeah.
Started going away. And it was all due to some economic things and turmoil happening there at that time. And that's where this term food desert was like first put on the map, first originated. And now it's here. Now we get to go through it.
So. I like how, you know, and again, we've talked about this before, but that marketing is the most powerful force mm-hmm. on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and anybody who denies that, you're just fooling yourself. Like, really sure. think about it.
I mean, that is
powerful.
I have
a degree in it. I mean, yeah. I love it. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I love yeah. it, but I get into it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Food
so,
desert.
Yeah, these marketers figure out these terms like that, and it's just like, oh my God. Like, because, uh-huh. you know, we live here in the Midwest. We have this plush prairie and farm ground and woods and lakes and rivers and streams and all the things.
Yeah, yeah.
The word desert sounds really, really bad.
It does,
like,
doesn't it?
Plus everything desert. You see on yeah. TV, like someone
no
just...
No one wants to get stranded in a desert.
Someone's stuck in the middle of it and yeah. it sucks.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, let's figure out a really bad term for an area. Okay, desert. And then it's going to be, oh, wait, it's food desert. There's nothing there.
Yeah. But let me ask you this. What are we talking about that let's say this town in Davenport doesn't have one. What's the next closest town? I mean, are we talking, oh God, we have to drive 20 minutes? Get over it.
So on top of that,
people act like they can't drive anymore.
Well, yeah.
I mean, is that what we're talking about? What's the next closest town?
There's some of that that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe we're jumping the gun here.
Yeah.
But this also goes into what you could call redlining, yellow lining, or what do they call it? Gerrymandering. Gerrymandering.
Oh, like there's yeah.
This is a huge part of how the United States, anyway, and the USDA, and I pulled up the atlas, the map that actually shows all these different food deserts across the United States.
Okay.
Central Nebraska is getting hit pretty darn hard.
Oh, which,
isn't that funny? That's in, like, I don't know. That's... if you look at Nebraska on the map here, where we're at risk or have this going on is in the middle of a bunch of cornfields and soybean fields and ponds and lakes and rivers. But
okay, yeah.
Some of these maps, people looked into it, and where that line is drawn on the other side of the street is a Kroger grocery store, and on the other side of that map is a Publix or what is Walmart's. Not the super center, but the little pharmacy grocery store.
Like
the small mart.
Neighborhood.
It's been called,
small mart. You know? Yeah.
Neighborhood. Walmart or whatever.
Yeah. So how.
Market.
So how stupid is that? You look up a food desert, let's just say in Philadelphia, and then, okay, here's the line where it's at. And on this side of the line is a grocery store. And on that side of the line is a Walmart pharmacy family food market or whatever the hell it is. So like, it's not really a food desert, to your point. It's
right.
Not a food desert. On the other side of the street is a grocery store. So there's that at play as well. There's a political play here as well. And maybe, Ben, that's what you were kind of alluding to with the marketing ploy and how scary this term is. So.
Oh, shocker. It goes back to politics? Are we being real here?
Well, I mean, there's probably some politics involved. But
okay.
So let's just talk a little bit about what's going on in the towns and then the things that we see around here.
Mm-hmm.
So the town that is right down the street from us currently is, 6,500 people, something like that?
Yep. And let's also paint an even more definite picture where, what would you say, 10, 15 years ago is about 8,000 to 9,000 people, and now we're down to 65.
Oh, it's gone the other way.
Yeah. This town is going down, where other towns that are within an hour, half an hour of Omaha, their populations are rising. This one's actually going down.
Okay. That could be.
I didn't know that.
I don't know. But what I do know is, and what I wanted to talk about today is that, okay, so it's 6,500 people today.
Mm-hmm.
This town has one grocery store,
mm-hmm.
and it is a major chain, a Hy-Vee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
I love going there. I'll go there every damn day if I could.
I think we've talked about this before. He basically does go there every day.
Yeah. I mean, I just go there and buy one thing every day. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It is a fun store to
be. I hate going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Him, on the other hand, loves it.
Yeah. Plus, they have all these cool things. You know, they've got a deli. They've got a meat counter. They've got, you know, warm foods that they're cooking there. They have a little restaurant. They have.
You sound like people have never heard of this.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to paint this picture because stick with me.
This is a state-of-the-art supermarket.
So you have all this cool shit in this grocery store,
you
man.
Do?
And it's nice. It's clean. It's organized.
Huge beer cave.
Yep. There's a helpful smile in every aisle.
Oh, God.
is that Hy-Vee?
Yes, that is it.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, that's the commercial. Come on, get it right.
That was a commercial when we were kids, okay. But whatever.
I think they still say that.
Either way, it's great. Point is there's only one. So rewind about 30 years ago when I was a kid in that town. That was our closest town. That was the only town. Yeah. We lived outside of town, but that was the only town. And there was two other grocery stores. Hy-Vee didn't exist. And one was really small down around Main Street.
Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill.
Yeah, and it was a Jack and Jill, and it kind of changed names a couple different times. It was like
Stubbs.
Yeah,
or something.
But it was like, you know, it was a family thing, and that, you know, it kept going, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one up on the highway that was bigger in a warehouse, and it was a No Frills, which was a big chain as well, but really pretty small.
A different style of a chain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the No Frills was putting pressure on the Jack and Jill.
Mm-hmm.
But people knew the ones they wanted to go to, and we went back and forth. My family shopped at both of them.
Yeah.
They were both small town. I mean, they were both little places.
They were.
So that was like 30 years ago. At that time, you know, when we talk about population, I would have to look it up, but I've got to imagine that it was at least a couple thousand less than what it is today, mm-hmm. because the big high school didn't exist and, you know, a separate high school and middle school and all the kinds of things. So it was probably closer to like 3,000 or 4,000 people at that time.
Okay.
So for people for reference, you know, in your small towns, you know, where you're listening. So you had that set up, and then, we moved away for work and came back and visited. And next thing I know, you know, I'm with my mom and we go down to the grocery store and we go in the Hy-Vee and I'm like, whoa, what is going on here?
Yeah, what is this?
This is crazy. Like, there's all this crazy stuff here in town. Like, good for the town. Like, cool, you know, whatever. Yay. Like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah. We made it.
Yeah.
The other two grocery stores were still open. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take long. It was only a few years and those other two grocery stores closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you can make the case as to why they closed. You know, did the big dog get them shut down? Did they run their businesses bad? You know, who knows? Yeah. I don't know. But it would probably be hard to argue that the big player that had everything all in one stop didn't have a major influence on that.
I thought it was borderline dirty pool, too. When you were checking out at Hy-Vee, they actually called out No Frills and had No Frills prices and coupons. Right, remember that at the register?
Yeah. They did?
Yeah.
And I don't remember that.
Price match and price beat, which that's fine. I love capitalism and it's a capitalist market, but it's like, you know, you're taking a direct shot at the little guy, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. I thought it looked, I didn't think it was a good look for Hy-Vee to do that.
I agree with you. So that I mean, that's a reality. Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah. And
I'm not mad about it.
And competition is competition, mm-hmm. right? I mean, everyone's coming in, they're trying to do their thing, and they're making their way.
Right.
You know, again, these big chains, they are, you know, making good money and doing the things that they're doing, but they're also employing mm-hmm. a lot of local folks. You know, they're putting a lot of local money into the community. They're bringing a lot of services to the community that they didn't have before.
Yep.
Okay, so good and bad. I mean, you got that back and forth, like what's good, what's bad, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of what we're trying to talk about is how these things happen and how they get to this point. So now, today, that is the only option in this town next door.
Oh, does that hurt food security where there's only one place to go?
Right. So what happens if they decide this place is losing us money? Month over month over month.
Well, yeah, and this town of Plattsmith is losing a population. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is right in the crosshairs of these different, like what you said, these towns mm-hmm. in Iowa that mm-hmm. have lost their Hy-Vee. And these measures that those Hy-Vees are doing, they're nice, but I feel it's more like just putting lipstick on a pig, you know, like bus vouchers or something to go to the nearest Hy-Vee or something like that.
That's what they were trying to do before they closed them down?
Or that's what they're going through right now.
Or is that what they're doing now?
So that's another part of this conversation. So we're just painting the picture of this particular town that we live in and how it's susceptible to something like this happening.
Yeah.
And again, what I want to clarify before we move on, or what I want to decide on, is why did this happen? So was it Hy-Vee's fault? Was it No Frills' fault? Was it Jack and Jill's fault? Mm. Was it the town folks' fault?
Mm.
I mean,
I want to blame people, and I will tell you why. Not fully,
okay,
but truly, the amount of people I hear, even where we live and around this community, Hy-Vee's prices are too expensive. I'm going to go to town.
Sure.
I'm going to buy bulk. I'm going to Walmart. I'm going to Sam's.
Costco.
But I guess I get that, but we're not those participants.
Well, but the way I look at it is,
because we're supporting,
is that it local. Is the only choice. So I could go another 20, 30 minutes north mm-hmm. to a different town and get a little bit different prices.
But people aren't considering that they have to pay for gas to go do that.
Like, right. And what is the convenience worth?
Yeah.
And so, but again, that's what happens. You know, you mentioned capitalism earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no competition, then they can do whatever they want, right? Yeah, I mean,
you're vulnerable.
And it's a fact.
Okay, so you're saying Hy-Vee can price whatever they want because no one's competing.
They're the only option.
Right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And for the foreseeable future. The it's a fact that these companies, you know, if you go buy a pound of ground beef or a bag of chips or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or a six pack of Coke, it could potentially have a different price depending on which store you go to.
Yeah.
So they price these things depending on the markets,
mm-hmm.
on what they know they can get out of them. So that's what happens in these kinds of things. So back to my original, you know, thought and question is, whose fault is this really? Like, what? I don't understand why the citizens of the towns don't want to take responsibility for the position that they're in.
Because it's easier to pass the buck on the big guy.
Of course, it's easier.
Well, yeah, it's easy to blame the rich people, right? And that's where I was glad you went to Hy-Vee and Kroger's and Baker's defense from the very start, because there's not too many businesses out there that cut a slimmer line as far as profit margins than mm-hmm. grocery stores.
Oh, really?
And so here, let's forecast 15 years from now. Let's say Plattsmouth keeps losing their population and more people go to Nebraska City to that Walmart. Mm-hmm. It's only a 12 minute drive for me.
Yeah, it's not far.
Yeah. And then the other way, Bellevue. And also Walmart and what's their big thing? Sam's Club?
Yeah, Sam's.
They deliver to our door. Like Ashley runs a concession stand. They deliver to our door, you know, like twice a week.
Okay.
So it's nothing for us to go ahead and throw a gallon of milk in there and whatever else.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's going to be here, you know, in 4 or 5 days. Mm-hmm. You know, we plan ahead enough. So there's options to get around Hy-Vee. So if those things keep going on, Hy-Vee's going to say, just like in Davenport, Iowa, that we got closed doors. This sucks. And we're going to move out to West Omaha where all the white flight's happening and people like and appreciate and can afford and aren't even thinking about
going
down the street.
Don't think about it, right?
Yeah, they're just going to mm-hmm. go there because it's the only thing. Yep. Right now, this could be the golden age for Hy-Vee in this area. And the next 15, 20 years, they're going to be like, we got to get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And then that No Frills that's been vacant for, 6 years now, something
mm-hmm.
like that?
Mm-hmm.
Not even 6. But anyway, that's when that'll open back up.
Yeah, mom and pop will open back up.
And I like that Hy-Vee. Are the No Frills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew the new owner, young guy, aggressive guy, rolled the dice, didn't work. And I felt terrible for him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, business is business. It's capitalism is a freight train running down the tracks.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So again, like just for people who are listening to understand, like we are so many of us are all so responsible for these kinds of things that we have to deal with. And there is nothing more powerful than voting with your dollar
mm-hmm.
and those decisions that you make with that dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So for the small towns, for the people listening to this who still have the small towns with the small town grocery stores, I'm not saying that I don't want to see Hy-Vee or anybody else succeed. I do. I think they're good companies. But patronize your small town stores, man. Like I was talking to one of my buddies the other day. He's got a cabin out in some small town in central Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how ridiculous the price was of something that he was buying that day. And I don't think he was talking about the grocery store, but it was some small town.
Whatever, a pair of jeans or something. Yeah.
Or a home improvement item like,
okay,
you know, some boards or some screws or something like that, the local hardware store.
Bag of staples is $22.
Yeah, right. And you could travel another 30, 40 minutes to the next big town because mm-hmm. there's one there.
Yep.
And you could hit the Home Depot or whatever, you could save that money. Mm-hmm. But also, what we talked about and what he already knew and recognized was that all of the things that come along with that small town that him and his family enjoy,
mm-hmm.
Very much enjoy,
right,
have to be funded by those kinds of things, by the people in the town, spending money in the town, and then those people spending money in the town, and so on and so forth, and all that circling around.
Of course. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is really pretty basic.
It does seem very basic.
A lot of people just don't think about it.
Well, they don't think about it, and they're like, oh, well, I'm just going to go to the big town anyways, and it's just easier to get it there. I get that. Sometimes I'll make one trip into town.
There's a little glitz and glam to it.
Yes. Yeah. But, I mean, I just told you this earlier. The dogs got groomed. I hit up a new place rather than heading to PetSmart, 45 minutes away, this local tiny little place to get the dogs groomed. Guess what? It was great, and they were actually cheaper.
It was cheaper?
It was way cheaper.
How about that? Okay.
$65 compared to $120.
Okay.
But then,
that is a no-brainer, but at the same time, if it was more, it's the convenience of being closer, and I'm supporting Plattsmouth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and a lot of times, you know, you mentioned convenience, and we've talked about this a lot. A lot of times the convenience is what gets people away from making the decision that's a little tougher as far as like buying from the small town place. Maybe the small town place only accepts cash or local checks.
Sure, sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They don't have a credit card machine.
Yeah, I did have to pay cash or a check, write a check.
They that's awesome. They don't want to have to pay that 3%, 3.5%.
I had to go to the bank first.
You know, I mean, you have all those kinds of things that happen. So a lot of people make those decisions based on convenience. Like, hey, I can just hit the big dog over here and I can just, this is easy. I have everything in one place. You know, that Walmart mentality. And I get it, man. Like
it is easy.
Yeah. You're going to do that from time to time. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing wrong with doing that, but don't forget these small town places, because what happens is what we're going to get into next is you find yourself in a position where you're really screwed.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And capitalism rolls on and Hy-Vee makes the executive decision wherever they're at. It's no longer profitable enough for us to be there. Let's close that store and put a new store out west.
So you think they just pulled numbers and were like, this doesn't make sense.
Oh, they 100% did.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Hy-Vee, they announced, and there's a lot of companies doing the same kind of thing.
Sure.
You know, I mean, they run businesses.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out where are we bleeding money? Where are we making money? How do we make the right decisions to keep this business afloat?
Yeah.
They have responsibilities. Hy-Vee is employee owned. So they have responsibilities to their employees.
And shareholders, one and the same.
Yep. Yeah. To make sure that they're not wasting their money. Mm-hmm. So they have to make business decisions.
Right.
So they are in this position where they have these stores in these towns that aren't getting enough business. I don't know where all these people in these towns are going. Otherwise, maybe these towns are shrinking like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided, hey, we have to close these stores. So somebody decided to make this a big story and a big deal. You know, so it's all blowing up. It's probably getting a little blown out of proportion, but it's real. That's what's happening.
It is happening. It is happening. Yep. Yeah.
So what do they decide to do? So they're like, man, we have to, we got to do something. This is what Hy-Vee is saying.
And Hy-Vee is based out of Iowa, right? I think that's where their corporate headquarters is.
Honestly,
that might make sense.
I think
sense
that's where
then.
They're founded. Don't hold me that. I can look it up, but
okay.
I think that's yeah, I think that's. What's
so, what are they going
to
do?
So, they decided in these small towns, they're like, man, so we have to try to help as much as we can. So, we're going to do a few different things. One of them is that they decided they're going to provide a shuttle service from this town that has been deemed a food desert. And I don't know who deems the food deserts, by the way.
USDA has a lot to do with that.
Okay, yeah, probably. Mm. So USDA says, oh, no, it's a food desert.
And that's where I was getting with the gerrymandering. It's like, is that really a food desert, or are you just using that population of people for this? Okay, go on.
Right. So now you got to do something, bad guy, because you created this.
You did.
You know?
We just scolded you for shrinkflation. Right. That's your fault, too.
But again, did you create this? I mean, I don't know. You kind of, but either way. They set up this shuttle schedule, few days a week, few different hours throughout the week where you can hit this shuttle and they will take you to the next closest Hy-Vee and let you do your shopping and get your prescriptions, and then they'll bring you back to where the shuttle place is.
Oh, right?
So they're doing that.
No, that's like when the Raiders decided to move from Oakland to Las Vegas. Like, we'll still have a shuttle service for you guys that have, you know, we'll just take you from Oakland to Las Vegas and bring you back, you know. Yeah.
And these things, when you think about it, like, think about the amount of cost that they're going to have associated in this.
You think that much shuttling?
It's going to be
people?
Such, but here's the convenience part of it. It's going to be such a pain in the ass, and it's going to be on this, we're only doing this at 8 a.m. in the mornings on Tuesdays, and no one's going to do it.
Right.
And they'll be able to just can it after a month.
Yep.
Oh, because they got to pay the driver.
That's what I think.
Pay the fuel.
I think you're right. Yeah.
You know?
Of course, they're going to have a full-time person to operate that vehicle. There's probably going to need to be a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do it.
Liability.
I think they said they're going to do it. It says 3 days a week for 4 hours at a time to accommodate various schedules. It's going to be starting the week of June 24th through September 1st. So that's coming up. And then at some point, they're going to reevaluate how those things are working. And then they're going to decide.
Reevaluate. Yeah. I like that one. Yeah, okay.
Are we going to change things or not? So second thing they're going to do is free grocery delivery. So I believe this said they were going to do this for a year. So free grocery delivery to all residents within a 1 mile radius of each store that was closing. So that doesn't really cover.
No, 1 mile. We wouldn't even be close if Hy-Vee closed.
It says for 1 year when they sign up for the service, minimum order $25. But they're gonna deliver from the next closest town there. Okay, and, so that's another option.
What's also, in a sinister way, hilarious about this, those people within 1 mile that are now being deemed a food desert, well, by the book, you're saying they can't afford your goddamn groceries. Mm-hmm. So now you're going to deliver the groceries that they couldn't afford them when the store was there.
More than likely, they're probably elderly, and they don't even know how to use a computer or going to do that. I'm just saying, like, to me, this is all adding up here. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Number three, they're going to continue free pharmacy delivery. I don't know what the stipulations are on that. Number four, they're going to have no lease restrictions. So I assume they own the buildings that they're evacuating, and they're going to have those up for lease for other businesses. And they're not going to have any kind of major restrictions on those leases. They're going to do whatever they can to try to make this building available to somebody,
all right,
which is a good idea.
Yeah.
And then increase food bank assistance. So social assistance and things like that. Somehow they're going to contribute to that and help these food banks.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's all very – and at least they're doing something. Once again, we're not trying to attack Hy-Vee. And it was started in 1930 in Beaconsfield, Iowa. It was the
first ever.
Yeah, huh. Congratulations. Charles Hyde and David Verdenberg opened the first one.
Hyde, so is that – that must be Hyde. And then Verdenberg is V.
V.
So there you go.
Gosh, that's so cute.
Pretty cool. So really when you look at this, I mean, again, like – so the writing's on the wall for these people. I mean, understand the fact that, okay, Hy-Vee is trying to do what they can to help lessen the burden. But the fact is that these things are going to run up in a year or so.
Yeah.
So then what is this town going to do? And I'm not saying this is on Hy-Vee. That's not my point. What I'm saying is it is on this town. It is on these people to figure out what is their next move as the people of a town, though?
Like, what can you do? Like, have a board meeting and say, come back, Hy-Vee?
What you need to do.
I mean, realistically, I'm not being sarcastic. Yeah, I don't know.
No, and there's no easy answer. But what you need to do is you need to get back to a small town supermarket, grocery store, whatever you call the thing.
Jim Bob's gonna run or something.
Yeah, that a local is running. They probably need some kind of subsidy if the local government can help afford that, you know, to help pay for the building and get the thing outfitted and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And then build this, you know, this community grocery store where people need to understand, if I'm shopping for groceries, that's where I need to shop.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to end up in this other situation.
Yeah.
And if tomatoes cost 35 cents a pound more than the tomato in the 30-minute away town, it doesn't matter. I need to buy these ones, you know? Yeah.
And I hate the way that grocery stores, it's fascinating to me, and I get into it as far as the marketing, but the way they manipulate prices, like when milk goes down, that means tomatoes go up. Like, that's why the old coupon cutters, the old moms, they had it figured out, you know, and they'd bounce around.
And I think a lot of that doesn't go away, but gets a little bit lightened when you have a small town owner and a small town store and a limited selection.
Right. Yeah. They don't have to play that game.
Yeah.
You know, the marketing goes down because they don't have to do it. When we take this show on the road and we get up to my old stomping grounds, we have to. We absolutely have to talk to this guy that had a heavy hand in revitalizing Lynch's grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys have?
What's it called? It's a co-op.
Okay.
Yeah. So for the longest time, we just had this nice little grocery store. And yeah, people would complain about the limited selection, high prices, and that's running up on its due date or whatever. You know what I mean? All the things. And what a crappy selection of fresh lettuce and tomatoes and bananas. Like, what are you talking about? This is a town of 300 people in the middle of nowhere. At least you got something. Yeah.
Two options would be nice. I mean, come on.
So anyway... it's just the little train that wouldn't quit, you know, and it stuck around. It closed for a short period of time, and then the community rallied around it. And, you know, it's just one of the reasons I'm proud to say I'm from that small town.
Okay, yeah.
And now it's a co-op, and I think they've been running now for a couple of years under this new, the way it's drawn up. And it'd just be fascinating, because maybe this is the blueprint, Ben, like if Lynch can do this, a town of basically 250, maybe 300 people, I doubt it's up to that 300, then I think a town of like 4,000, 2,000 people could figure something out.
There's
on a grander scale. And then that would help prices. That would get more of the community involved. You can feel better about it. I see immense opportunity. You know, it sucks right now that Davenport, Iowa is going through this, or whoever you brought up there.
Yeah, Cedar Rapids. Yeah.
Let's use this as...
How big is a town like that, though? Pull up Cedar Rapids. You know what? This is random. You know how Casey's loves to come into small towns and make gas stations? Why don't they have Casey's grocery store?
They basically are. I'm just saying they could totally do this. Cedar Rapids,
population. I hope they hear this podcast. Have they not even thought about this?
136,000 people in 2022.
What?
And
that's huge. So, and they're pulling out. So that means there's another grocery store in there.
That's what they're doing is on that thing where I said, like, they're transporting people to the next closest grocery store.
So it's
and
like,
they're delivering to people and stuff like that. It's basically from a different area of town.
Yeah.
In Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, most likely.
And that's where they're all kind of getting into
just closing one store, but there's still five more.
But they're leaving the people in North Omaha stranded. And that's
the desert. That little area over there is the desert.
But it's not. Oh, my God, the whole desert thing.
I mean, that gets into the redlining stuff that I was kind of getting into, you know.
Yeah, and those folks, I mean, there might be a bunch of people in that area that, you know, don't have vehicles and... You know, whatever else, whatever the reasons may be why they can't travel somewhere.
Yeah.
But again, these things didn't have to get to this point.
Yes.
If
people spent their money in their town.
If they would decide, if they would make conscious decisions with how they're spending their money.
Yeah, but that takes a lot of brain energy and power to think for yourself and think of the future. Like, God damn it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And like support local.
And not bitch.
Ooh.
Just decide like, hey, this is what I'm doing because this is the best thing to do for myself, my family, for the future. Not just based on a cost thing or a convenience thing.
Yeah.
You know, like that dude that owns that grocery store, I know that guy. My kid goes to school with his kid.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever, all the things, right? And you just support them and you work with each other. Like that's what this country has to get back to, period.
Yeah. Hey, amen.
I think, kind of why you like going to Hy-Vee. Because you see familiar faces and a smile in every aisle. And the guy, if we stop and get a beer,
I think that's one of the things that like, I said that Hy-Vee has done a good job
exactly.
of. Exactly. They kept that small town feel.
Mm-hmm. They do. Well, they're employee owned. That really has a heavy hand in how they operate moving forward.
Yeah.
But they can't beat capitalism, though.
Right.
Like, and if it doesn't make sense to be in North Omaha, get the hell out of there.
And on the other hand, when you become the only show in town and you're that big... I mean, everyone is highly reliant on that,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And in a lot of these small towns, like the town I was talking about, my buddies, they have a small town grocery store on Main Street. The town is highly reliant on that grocery store, same.
Mm-hmm.
But if the person that owns that grocery store gets sick or dies or decides they can't do this anymore or whatever, someone else is going
to
come in and take that thing over and carry it on.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than, you know, these major corporations.
Yeah. And as far as like what that every town you're talking about there, what I see hurting a place like that is when people do go to the big city for this or that, and that, you know, whether it's to visit or whatever, they'll go and they'll load up, right? They will go to Walmart and they'll buy 8 cases of soda or whatever the case may be, rather than spend that dollar in town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I get it. You're doing what's best for you financially, but in the long run, are you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, in the long run.
And you know, I also don't like how I feel like we're kind of taking a shot at everyday people, common folk here.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of this just has to do with capitalism, and the big dog does win. And let's give the flowers to these big players, Kroger's out there, Walmart's out there.
Mm-hmm.
They figured out how to get, you know, toothpaste from here to there at a cheaper price than everybody else.
Yeah.
And now they're flexing. They're the only player in town, and they're playing by the same rules moving forward. They're not the villain, but... You know, everybody kind of had a hand in this thing.
I think another perspective is, you know, you look at, so you talked about a town like Cedar Rapids, 135,000 people, wherever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
that Hy-Vee in that neighborhood is essentially the next generation small town grocery store in that town.
In that area.
Because that's a big town.
Yeah.
People can drive past that thing and go to the Walmart, go to the Sam's Club, go to whatever. Yep. And most likely that's what's happening.
Yeah. I bet.
And
I bet
that's why this grocery store is failing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's like it's on a bigger scale than mm-hmm. these small towns that we're talking about.
Yeah.
But the Hy-Vee is the one that's the victim in those scenarios.
Right. Yes. And they might be set up to where they don't have as many options on their shelves that accept Snap.
Sure.
Yeah. or as many Snap options. Yep. You know, there's a lot of players in this, and it just kind of sucks that the USDA is such a heavy player.
Yeah.
In this one. Yeah. It should just be me buying my groceries. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know.
For sure. And the other thing that I want to add to this conversation before we close it out is that there are also other options, and those other options are local. True local suppliers, not stores.
And they're surging right now. You're seeing a huge uptick in this, what you're talking about.
Yes. At its biggest, it would be like a market, a farmer's market, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of places call mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. But at its smallest, it is an independent producer selling stuff
mm-hmm.
Via the internet, via social media, via a corner stand.
I think Ashley and I counted it up. I think we have like 3 chicken ladies now in our neighborhood, mm-hmm. you know, that have their own chickens and mm-hmm. have eggs that we can buy a dozen from. I love it. I'm like, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
You guys keep it up, you know, get some more chickens out there.
I thought about that when I've seen people post, we have, you know, eggs for sale, blah, blah, blah. Or mm-hmm. we're very good at when corn's ready.
The
guy will just throw up in his trunk, you know, on the corner.
The gas station heading out of the little mm-hmm. community there. Mm-hmm. The other one does have farm fresh eggs.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the local town, the local owner gas station.
There you go. And god damn it, they're more than the crappy eggs at Walmart. Oh, duh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so there's those options, and I think more and more people are getting keen to those kinds of options and figuring out like,
yeah
it might cost a little bit more, but number one, I know the story behind it. I know where my food's coming from. It may or may not be more nutritious. It probably is in one way or another.
Sure.
And it's right there, and I'm supporting somebody in the community.
Yeah.
You know, so folks need to check that kind of stuff out. I mean, for us, we've all but completely moved our beef purchasing to one family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Family farm.
Yes.
Direct from a family farm.
Yep. We get 90, if not 95% of our beef from that place.
Unless mm-hmm. we haven't been good in the morning and thought about what to set out. Ben.
Yeah. To thaw
then he'll be like,
out.
Well, yeah. I'm going to go hit up Hy-Vee.
Yeah, I'll go hit up Hy-Vee. Like, I love
most
buying
most times we don't get our meat there.
A flank steak or whatever from Hy-Vee that I come home and I grill it real quick. Like, we do those things 100%.
Yeah.
But the majority of our purchase is through that local farmer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that same thing can go for
chicken. We got to
chicken, pork, the vegetables, the produce, those kinds of things.
Yep.
But the other thing is, and we've talked about this before, is that you also have to be understanding of that there's seasons and there's certain times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want anything and everything
all
the time,
lobster.
Then you got to go to the. You're gonna have to go to the grocery store. You can't depend on these local places.
I mean, but if you want deer,
right? Yeah, right out back here, right on the other side of this wall behind you, we have our garden. Yeah. This summer, we will get the majority of our produce from that garden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Period. And we will have too many tomatoes.
Yeah,
and we'll can them.
We'll
make salsa. We'll make sauce. We'll do all the things.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah, right. You're going to get some.
Andy's like, wait.
That's awesome.
Hold on, I want some.
But the point is that people have options.
Yeah.
And and take advantage of those options and quit.
Yeah.
Quit running your small town entrepreneurs out. Quit
I running them out of town. I do think that, to me, is huge in this conversation. As much as people want to save money, and we want to also do some things that you're going to support local, please. I mean,
yeah, because I don't want to come across like we're telling people how to spend their money.
No, absolutely not. And I get it. You have to do what's best for you, but like, if you can do that, I mean, come on. We don't want a food desert here.
The reality is we all can.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a little bit, yes. And if it's, like you said, if it's just eggs, instead of getting eggs at the grocery store or getting them from Walmart, then you get eggs from your neighbor. Maybe it's not your full grocery list. Fine. It's something. But I think that's, to me, like a big point of this.
I think this is just the tip of what could be a huge iceberg and a bigger conversation that we could have, you know, throughout here for the next couple of years, you know, on this, on food deserts. I'd love to get Jeremy Odom back in here, you know, the comedian we talked to.
Right, he's funny.
He was a manager at Hy-Vee for a number of years.
Yeah.
You know, so I think you'd have some excellent insight. And I definitely want to talk to David Barnes in Lynch and about how they turned that small grocery store into a co-op.
Yeah,
and how it's working, and just how it is working. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be really interesting because I don't really know anything about it. All I know is when I'm in town, I go down there and I buy cookies and soda, whatever, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All the little things. So, well, I think this is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you said earlier, you know, in a certain way, it kind of sounds like we're coming down on the common folk, and I get that. But here's the thing: we are the common folk too. So we all can have honest conversations with each other, and sometimes you need to have need to have a little bit of a wake up call.
Yeah.
But there, I guarantee you, there's a lot of people listening that are hollering at the radio, going, "Yeah, that's what we do in our small town. That's why I go to the small town grocery store every week. That's why I shop there. That's why I don't travel to the big town."
It's the collective illusion, bro.
Already doing it.
It's a collective illusion, bro. It's a big thing. I'm telling you, like, let's have the conversation and figure out that. Oh my God, we agree.
There's also people listening, like, okay, thanks for the memo. Thanks for the reminder. Yep, you know what? I should frequent this place a little bit more. Go get my berries there, or you know, whatever. Maybe get some alcohol at the local liquor place.
Get your coffee at the local, you know, the local coffee store that day or whatever.
Yeah. I'm on board.
Let's do it.
I think this is a start of a more elongated, bigger conversation that we're going to get to kind of dive into even more.
Well, it'll be interesting to hear some folks who are actually in the thick of it, like as far as, like you said, somebody who works for one of these chains and, you know, get another
perspective.
And get another small town patron in here that's the small town grocery store is their only choice, and why do they love it, and how does it work, and why do they hate it? You know, I mean, there's there's ups and downs on both sides.
Yeah, so. I mean, because we kind of touched on the pharmacy thing, but
I heard plenty of people that didn't like the old Stoobies. Everybody loved Stoobies, but everybody hated Stoobies.
Well, that's what I kind of heard about the other one, the no frills. It was like, ugh, but then some people loved it. It's like, it's there's always anything. Something. Yes, right, always right. something. So
when we went a couple of weeks ago, we went up to O'Neill and visited the Handlebend guys, and that night we were staying in their Airbnb, and we were like, all right, well, we're going to want breakfast. So we just, you know, pulled up on the phone, hey, grocery store, a little small town grocery store across the street. We went over there, bought super some eggs, cute. bought some sausage, you know, got some potatoes, a couple of things, and it was awesome little store. And I'm sure it supplies everybody there perfectly well.
Mm-hmm. Irish Capital of Nebraska, O'Neill, shout out. And they do punch up out of their weight class because they're only a population of like 3,000 people, but they support so many towns like Lynch that's only 200-300 around there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's O'Neill's just a critical part for North Central, Northeastern Nebraska.
Yeah. It was a cute little grocery store. We got everything we needed, and there were fresh eggs, just so you know.
Boom. They were awesome.
Local.
Keep it up, O'Neill.
All right. So I guess that about covers it. Until next time.
Until next time.
Get into the topic again.
Cheers. Later.
All right. Yeah. We'll see you.
Peace.